Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Speaking to the Beyond with Robert and Robin. I am your co-host, Robert Vecchio, and with us, as always, is Robin Wolf. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Hey, Robert. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm enjoying these beautiful days here in northern New Jersey. How's the weather in Virginia?
It was about 75 degrees today. It was really nice. Super nice. I spent a couple of hours cleaning someone's house this afternoon. Smudging someone's house. So, yeah, I did my first house clearing in Virginia since I moved here. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah, and then I helped this lady pick out a pendulum for herself. So that was pretty cool.
Fantastic.
It took up a few hours today, you know.
Yeah.
So
always a good thing. And Raven and I went for a nice 2-mile walk today, and we went for a 2-mile walk yesterday. So we're enjoying
nice.
The beautiful, beautiful weather. I would take Roxy with me, but she's little and
not
she's
yet.
Older, and. I would have to carry her the entire time. And I don't feel like carrying an extra 12 pounds with me for 2 miles.
You know, you could get a stroller for her so she could enjoy the walk with you.
Oh, my God. I was thinking that this morning. I'm like, either I need a stroller or one of those carriers that you attach to yourself. I need one of those.
No, get it. Do a stroller. A stroller. That way she could enjoy the walks with you and Raven.
Oh, good God. Oh my God! So
you look like a daddy.
Oh, I already look like a daddy. Oh my little ones. Okay, so this afternoon we will be interviewing Leslie Summers. She is an intuitive Reiki master, teacher, and energy healer. She's been an empath and intuitive all of her life, and uses her ability to promote healing. She offers Reiki to her clients and does energy healing work at the spiritual church she attends. Separate from the church, she is also an ordained minister through the Universal Life Church Monastery and is currently in the ministerial program at her spiritualist church as well. She is a registered member in good standing with the International Association of Reiki Professionals and the Reiki Membership Association /International Center for Reiki Training. She believes in a mind-body-spirit connection, offering Reiki, which works to heal all three. And Reiki promotes relaxation, which removes stress from the body, allowing it to better heal itself. And the best way to know what Reiki is to experience it for yourself. So I would like to introduce Leslie Summers, and she's the last, okay. Let's see if I
Hello.
Get this right. Hi, Leslie. How are
you? Hey,
Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you? Hi, Robert, Robin.
Hi.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Good. Thank you for coming
Thanks
on.
Thanks for joining
and,
us.
For anyone that doesn't know what Reiki is, can you describe what it is?
Absolutely. Reiki is basically a technique for healing. It was developed by Dr. Mikao Usui back in the 1920s. The concept of healing, of course, is not new. That's been around forever, but he developed this system for using it. It taps into the universal life force energy that's in all things, all of us, everything that has life. And it's about using that energy and getting it to flow through us so that we can hopefully be, working at an optimal level. So it's about using the universal life force energy that's in all things and all around us. And it's a beautiful modality. So as you said in that lovely introduction, to really know Reiki is to try it and to love it. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading your bio before, and I didn't realize that we're both members of the Universal Life Church. I've been there since 96 when I first became a Reiki master. Actually, funny story is my grandmother forced me to go. I had no desire to go, and I go, all right, if you want me to go with you, I'll go with you. She was always dragging me on things. I was 18 years old at the time. I had no desire to do anything, and I'm so glad she did because it's a wonderful, wonderful, as you said, modality. It's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. And it works, as you mentioned, it works on all aspects of your being, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you also happen to mention that I feel very strongly about the mind-body-spirit connection. And unless you work on all three, you're never going to have that complete balance. You can't carry baggage and old past hurts and pains into the current and have these physical things without also working on the mental, emotional, and other aspects of your life. You really have to work on all of them to really benefit and see changes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it really.
Now, where in Northern New Jersey are you? Is your you're the owner and operator of Intercom Reiki, and where in New Jersey
yes.
is it?
I'm located in the Wayne, New Jersey area. I do sessions privately out of my home, and I also do sessions currently out of a salon. It's called Here to Die For in Pequannock, New Jersey. So if somebody's interested in a session, they can certainly reach out to me. I also do remote sessions, so I can work with somebody mm-hmm. distantly, which I find are also very effective. I have a lot of clients literally all over the world that I work with in that way as well. So,
I remember
course,
doing
always,
that for class. Are you on
yeah,
the
I mean, it's always nice if you get. I'm off of there. I'm near there. That's where the
okay.
Here to Die For is the name of the salon, and that is off of right on Newark Compton Turnpike.
Okay. Okay. I'll have
it's
to come by and visit.
Right down the street from, it's right down the street from my mom's. Well, when my mom had a travel agency, that's where it is.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were so close to me. I live
go
in
ahead,
Wayne, so. No, I just wanted to say I live in Wayne.
Yeah, you live pretty much
yeah.
around the corner.
Yeah.
See cool. that? You can come for a Reiki
you
session.
There you go.
Yeah, but no, it's a great modality. And, you know, for me, just to give you some background, I've always done some type of healing work. Healing work isn't unique to just Reiki practitioners. Everyone is born with an innate ability to do healing work as are they to be able to do intuitive work or mediumship. It's just about kind of remembering how to do it and building that up and learning again how to do it. But we're all born with that. I mean, most people, you know, especially you see young children, I think it's just adorable. You know, they get their boo-boos kissed or they try to make nice on a friend that's hurt. I mean, we all really do want to just heal each other. I mean, I think that really is, as I said, an innate desire within each of us. To do that, and somehow we just kind of get ruined with life, I guess. You know, we forget what it's like to connect to another spirit, another soul, and we forget that we have this ability to do that and to help each other, and I think it's really important that we kind of get back to that.
Yeah.
So,
Rachel,
Leslie, what makes you unique? What makes you stand out as a Reiki master, as opposed to other people, like just other Reiki people? I mean, I've been to a lot of different Reiki. I've been to, you know, I've had a lot of different Reiki healings with different Reiki people, and I've noticed not only from state to state are Reiki practitioners different, they vary. But even in New Jersey, I think I probably went through 4 different Reiki practitioners until I actually met you at the church in New Jersey. So I know what makes you different, but what do you feel that makes you different?
first of all, I have to say there's
don't,
there's so
don't
many
worry,
variables.
This is not a trick question.
there are so many variations of Reiki, so we got to keep that in mind too. I teach and I use the original, you know, Usui method of Reiki, and I think from that all other methods of Reiki kind of branched off. And you know, there's like I said, there's so many different variations: Kundalini Reiki and Rainbow Reiki and Holy Fire Reiki. I mean, I can go on and on. There's just a tremendous amount of different variations of Reiki. So I think each of them bring just something a little different to the table. I know I also teach my students to kind of make it a little bit personal to them. I mean, it's not a personal thing, but that they don't have to follow. I don't want them to be a mimic of me. I want them to be better than me, you know, so to bring a little bit of yourself into your practice. So I think what makes me unique is that this is what I do. You know, this isn't something that I just heard and said, oh, Reiki, that sounds cool. Let me check that out and maybe I'll just go and become a master. Healing is something that I've always done, you know, going way back as a little child. My first memory was my mother, who used to get migraines all the time. And then one day she asked me to put my hands on her face, or I just went up to her and I put my hands on her face. And she said she felt better. And it was beyond, you know, of course, all parents feel better when their children hug them and touch them. But she never asked my brother to do that. She only asked me to do it. And every time she got a migraine, she would ask me to do that. And she'd always say she felt better. So I think for me, is discovering Reiki gave me an avenue in which to use that healing ability, because I could feel, being an empath and being intuitive, I can feel someone's pain and suffering, being whether it's emotional or physical, but I can't just go around putting my hands on people and say, let me touch you. I mean, that's just not appropriate. Mm-hmm. So I could say, you know, so now I could say, well, I'm a Reiki master teacher, you know, consider having a session with me. And that gave me the avenue in order to do that. So I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts were, but that to me, I think, the passion behind it, my reason for doing it, my drive for doing it, has nothing to do with money or anything else. It just has to do with hopefully bringing some healing to our planet, which it desperately needs. And it's not a money-driven thing. I know a lot of people think, you know, this is cool. Everybody's doing Reiki. Let me go do this and see how much I can make doing it. And that's not what it's about for me. And I try to work with everybody regardless of ability to pay or to not pay at all. So... I don't know if that's what you were thinking, Robin, but that's what I think kind of makes me unique to some other,
you hit upon almost everything that I was thinking. I agree with the money thing. You know, it's not about the money. I guess as a medium and as a healer myself, if someone comes to me and can't afford a reading but really desperately needs to talk, you know, mm-hmm. I do the same thing, you know. It's not about
Absolutely.
The money. I mean, yes, we have to pay our rent, but it's not about. It's about doing
no,
and
you,
the best.
Well,
in
this
the
is
high.
The thing. It can't be the way I look at it is those who are able to pay, and I will always ask the client, is that, you know, and they say, well, how much you charge for this or what's that, and I'll say to them that this is my charge, but if it's a hardship, let me know and we'll talk about it. You know, that's how I do my business. Because I said, it's not about the money. And I do the same thing. I do intuitive coaching. I do readings, you know, as I mentioned, you know, being an empath, medium, psychic, all that stuff, any of that work, you know, because all of that brings healing to someone. So as you mentioned, especially now being minister, you know, for me being a minister in training, I don't turn people away, you know, and it's not about money. If I can help in some way, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's just my calling. And that's just what I feel where I am in this part of my own journey. And this is where
I plan on being for
the rest of it.
What actually drew me to Leslie Robert was, mm-hmm. well, I had met Leslie at the church that we belonged to. And I think that mm-hmm. for about a year, I sat maybe five rows behind her every Sunday morning at 11:30 and was always drawn to her chair, but I never really got why. So when Leslie introduced herself to me and said, hey, if you're interested in Reiki, you know, learning Reiki or anything about Reiki, you know, give me a call. And it was almost like she was reading my mind, because I was looking for a Reiki practitioner, but I was also looking for a teacher. And mm-hmm. I guess what drew me to you, Leslie, was the fact that you do put your heart and soul into it. And you can tell just by talking to you. And when I went and had other Reiki sessions in New Jersey at that time, I didn't feel the same connection. I felt like one person just wanted to talk. The other person wanted to use a pendulum, which I still don't get. And the third person, again, wanted to do something else. I'm not saying what it was, because it still makes my head want to spin, because it just goes against all of everything that I believe in. So that's what drew me to you, Leslie, and that's when I talk about you. That's what I talk about.
So I appreciate that, and I know. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So how, I know, and it's also in your bio, but I know that you're going through the ministerial program. How do you, how do I word this? So how do you bring your Reiki healing into other aspects of your work, such as not just ministry, but your intuitive work, but also your newest endeavor, which I really am loving watching, is your artwork. How are you bringing all of that and tying it together with your Reiki? Because I think it's really important to for people to understand when it comes to healing your mind, body, and soul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so important, you know, and thank you. I appreciate the comments about my artwork as well. But it's so important that we honor that spark that's in each of us, whether you want to call it the spark of divine or the spark of creativity. Because if you think about it, divine and creativity kind of is the same thing. We were created by a divine source, whatever that may mean to you. So I think there is that essence of creativity within us. So I think part of healing is to be able to express ourselves however it is that we do, whether it be through art, through poetry, through writing, or if you just like to organize the heck out of your cabinets, you know, whatever it is that brings you joy and brings you, you know, that pleasure where you're tapping into your inner essence and you're honoring that rather than ignoring that. I think so many people are so unhappy in what they do in life because they just took that job because they had to put food on the table, or they just did that, or they're not going after what it is that honors them. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Obviously, we all have to eat. We all have to have a roof over our heads. But then to balance it off with something else, you know, if you enjoy doing and creating music, then at the end of a bad day, go home and play, you know, those instruments or write music or do whatever it is. Don't just get stuck in the mundane things that we do for survival, to also honor that spark that's within yourself. So for me, you know, I find a lot of people, even if they're looking at one of my pieces of art and they say, you know what, I get her expression. I felt exactly that same way, you know, earlier today. And I get how that, you know, that person's feeling. Somebody just did that for me as a, you know, Robin, I just lost my father, and somebody had posted this beautiful picture of a very sad-looking person. And I'm like, you know what? If I could express to someone how I'm feeling in this very moment, that picture is it. So it is a healing thing. You know, it's a healing thing to bring that creativity into what you do. And for me, myself, you know, I still practice self-Reiki, and it's gotten me through some of the hardest and most difficult times of my life, including grief, including, you know, just other losses that, or other even past pains that have come up, you know, from time to time. So it is a wonderful, wonderful healing modality. But it's important to understand that I, you know this because I teach, I myself am not the healer. We all have a healing ability, but we are just the conduit of that energy. I just help to kind of get that energy flowing, help manipulate it, send it to where it needs to go. And that doesn't come from me. And that's another different healing modalities, because there are some, as a matter of fact, there's somebody very popular right now who has a healing show, and I respect his work, but he uses his own energy, and in doing that he ends up putting himself in the hospital because he drains himself. And you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be using your own energy. But as a young child, before I learned about Reiki and how to use that, I was kind of doing the same thing. Whereas a young child, I always had migraines. I always had bloody noses. I couldn't figure out, you know, nobody seemed to know where or why. And I really think it had to do with me connecting and figuring out that whole connection with the spiritual realm, and working with that healing energy that I think was coming through me and being able to manage it and not get physically ill. So I do urge people, if they think they are healers or have an ability or even a desire or calling to it, that they do take some sort of, you know, class, be it Reiki or another healing modality, so that they can learn how to use that properly.
That's awesome. Do you have any questions, Robert, or should I just keep talking?
No, I do have a question. I'm
okay,
on your website.
I thought so.
I always have questions. Come on, you should know me better. I'm on your website, and of all the services that you offer, I saw animal Reiki. Now, I want to know the truth. What is the weirdest animal you've ever performed Reiki on?
The weirdest
animal. Oh, come on, Robert. Really, Robert?
Yes, well, I want to know, because you know what? It's normal for dogs and cats to do, but have they ever done it, like, on an elephant or, like, a zebra? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
there is nothing you can't do Reiki, you know, on or for, and I've never had the privilege of doing, you know, any of those exotic animals. Most of my clients have been cats and dogs, and I love my animal clients. But I got to tell you, I will randomly sit in nature and I will send Reiki to, you know, whatever happens to pass my way. So the weirdest thing I've ever given, I'm a gardener. So the strangest thing I've ever given Reiki to is a worm.
Okay.
So I don't know. Does it get any weirder than that?
I like that answer. No, both my dogs have been going through some health issues, and I've been giving them Reiki, oh my God, forever. And knock on wood, they're both in good health now. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
I'm going to see something else.
But you can offer Reiki to anything, flowers, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yep.
You can offer Reiki to... You know, I mean,
anything that has some kind of life in it.
Yeah, and I remember doing a little exercise, call it a test on my own, where I put, you know, one, I had three plants, and one I gave Reiki to and talked to every day, and the other I gave Reiki to and talked to maybe once every other week, and the other one I just totally ignored. I just watered the plant. And, of course, the first plant was the one that thrived and thrived and thrived, and the third plant just died. You know, I actually brought the plant back to life. I didn't let it get to that point. But, you know, I wanted to see the difference, and it really does work, you know.
It does. And the reason that it does is because in everything that we do, it's the intention behind what we're doing. So the same thing applies to Reiki, and the same thing applies to just about everything in the universe. Intention really is key, and people don't realize, you know, the power of prayer, for instance, if you're a religious person, the power of your intentions and thoughts, and even your thoughts that go out really are a prayer. So that energy, and I always say, don't ever ask the universe for something if you don't want an answer. So I will absolutely never, ever say, you know, when things are going bad, I'll never, ever, and I'll just say it really quick right now, and then I'll never say it again, but I never ask what else can go wrong. Don't ever ask that question, because the universe takes that literally. Okay, you want to know? Here you are.
No, what can go wrong.
So always say to yourself, what else can go right today?
And I never ask what can go wrong. I always ask, what could I have done better today? You know, not what I could have screwed up more, but what could I have done better?
That's what I do. I would say there's no mistakes, you know, and there's no, you know, it's all a learning lesson, and everything that we, you know, whether we think it's a bad thing, we don't fail. We just learn from it, like you said, to learn how to do something better the next time. So we can't beat ourselves up about, you know, those kind of things, the what ifs, and oh my God, I stink at this, or I do. You just use it as a stepping stone, you know, and you just take that and run with it, and you know better for next time. But the intention behind all those things, like I said, whether it's a thought, whether it's a prayer, whether it's using Reiki and that energy, it all is energy. All of that is energy.
So now I know this next question could probably likely get me into some trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. So all three of us are mediums, psychics, you're a Reiki master. Robert's a Reiki master. But so we all have something in common. When you're doing a Reiki session, Leslie, if you get a message, do you tell that person, or do you kind of just let it go because you're not giving an intuitive session? What's the right way to handle something like this? And it's been a discussion in my mediumship classes that I teach, And it's been because almost all of my medium students are Reiki practitioners, either level one, and some are Reiki master teachers. So they do run the gamut. So this is why I say I might be getting myself into hot water here. But
no, not with me. I have no problem.
Concerns. Yeah. Okay.
I
so
have
tell
no problem
me,
answering that question.
Good.
And I can only tell you from my own perspective because I know there are people out there who do that. But I feel very strongly myself, personally. And I'll give you an example. I think I mentioned that I do also teach Reiki as an elective at the Institute for Therapeutic Massage. So it's a massage school. And I run into this there all the time because I have massage students who are learning Reiki, and they tend to blend the two. And I tell them that I absolutely believe that they are separate modalities and that they should be, you know, presented separately. If I'm coming to you for a manipulation, a hands-on body massage where you're working my tissues and muscles, I'm not coming to you for energy work, and I don't want you doing energy work on me unless I'm aware of it and you have my permission to do so. So if somebody comes to me and I do get feelings about things, I do not believe that that is the time and place to give messages unless that was discussed beforehand, unless that was the intention that they're coming to me for a healing and they also want to get a message. I'm not going to give that information, even if I get something. Unless it's, you know, so strong that it's not going to leave me unless I, you know, at least make mention of it, I absolutely do not mix the two. If you're coming to me for a Reiki, you get Reiki. If you're coming to me for a reading, then you get a reading. So I strongly about keeping all of that separate because I think you're taking away from something if you're doing and blending all these different modalities and all these different offerings. So that's just my personal opinion. That's how I do it.
That's how I teach it too. I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to try to rope you in.
Like, if you come to me for a Reiki session, I'm also not going to say, oh, you know, while you were laying there, I kind of got some stuff. Why don't you make an appointment with me and I'll do a read? Like, I don't do that either. You know, if I think it's something that this person absolutely needs to know, then I may share that, asking their permission first. I had one woman come to me, for instance, who was mourning her grandmother's loss, and I felt her grandmother's presence. I heard the nickname that her grandmother used for her, and I really felt that she needed to know that her grandmother was with her. I didn't go into a full reading other than to share that I know your grandmother's with you, and this is what she used to call you, and she confirmed that that was true, and she was just, you know, just elated to know that her grandmother was watching over. It didn't, you know, there was no information there. There was a lot of evidence. You know, there was just a little bit to let her know that she's still with her and still around her. But, yeah, I would say at least 99% of the time, you know, and I've had people who wanted both who've come to me for a Reiki session and then said they wanted a reading. But I don't mix, you know, the two normally at all. Like I said, I just think if you're multitasking, you know, if you're kind of multitasking, you're doing, you're giving a lot of little things your attention and you're not giving any one thing your full attention, you know. So I feel very strongly if you're coming to me for a Reiki session, in those moments that we are together, you are the most important thing in my life and I'm going to give you my full attention and you are going to get whatever I can give to help you heal. But no, I don't. I do my best not to, and I don't suggest, again, it's my personal beliefs, but I don't normally do that.
Okay.
Is that
okay.
The answer you
and
thought?
And Robert, I know. And I know I cut you off, Robert, so I do apologize.
Oh, no, it's no problem at all. I was just going to mention how on your website, I think this is the cutest thing. You have Reiki-infused bears.
Yeah.
can you tell me how that started?
That is just,
oh, and Robert,
I love my bears.
But by the way, Robert, ask Leslie how many of them I have.
Yeah, I think I lost count, Robin. I think I lost count. So what happened, I think, and how that kind of came about was doing distant Reiki, you know, a lot of times you'll use a surrogate. So I usually start a distant session talking to somebody on the phone, and I love to do a little guided meditation with my clients just so that when I start doing Reiki, they're already fully relaxed and open to receiving. So so using a surrogate, and I was talking to a woman in Arizona, and she was about to be a first-time grandmother, and I was using the surrogate, and I always give, you know, these bears full Reiki treatment with the intention that it goes to the recipient. So I did the distant session, and I said, you know, I want to send this bear to you for your grandson. She knew it was a you know, grandbaby, a grandson. And she was thrilled to death, and I sent it to her. And then the baby had some issues, nothing major, but she gave the baby the bear, and she called me the next day and said, you know, the baby doesn't have to go to the hospital after all. Everything is good. And as the baby got a little bit older, now he's a toddler and having little play dates. And I remember her reaching out to me and saying that all the kids, when they come over, they all want that bear. They all just want to hold the bear and hug the bear. So they feel the energy. I mean, the feedback in them has just been wonderful. They each get, as I said, a full Reiki session. They get a hug from me before I send them off. I tell them I love them and I love the recipient, whoever it's going to. And whether it's, you know, kids, adults, and I can tell you so many stories about that bear, but I even had a woman who ordered one for herself, and her dog, as soon as the box came to the house, her dog sniffed the box. And it's not like he was accustomed to getting doggy treats in the mail, but the dog sniffed the box, and she opened the box for the dog. The dog proceeded to take the bear, go lay on its bed, and cuddle with the bear. And she had to order another one, too, like Robin's done a number of times. Because she intended on it for herself, but the dog kind of took possession of it. So, lots of stories. I had a girlfriend who was going thinking that she was going to get a diagnosis of ovarian cancer, and I went with her to the doctor, and she asked me to hand her purse, and out pops my Reiki bear, and she just held it the whole time. And about 10 minutes later, she comes running out in the waiting area to tell me that it's not cancer after all. So I don't know. You know, I like to think they're magical because they're mine and because I love them, but I definitely think, again, it's the intention, and my intention is that it helps whoever receives it. So I do. They're kind of popular, and the people who do get them seem to really enjoy them. So I'm glad for that.
It's not just the bear, though. It's also the little dolls that you were making. I want to say they're big as my finger with the
little worry dolls
with the little stones. Yeah, your worry dolls. I know you sent me one, and it's right over my bed every night, and it makes me feel better.
Whether I'm selling a stone, you know, because I have crystals and stones that I sell, and the little dolls that I make, or whatever it is, everything I make, I do with love, and I do with Reiki. So everything, you know, that I create has that intention in it and that tension behind it. So I'm thrilled to death when someone like yourself tells me they can feel that, or they, you know, it helped them or whatever, because that's the intention. That's the intention behind whatever it is I'm making or doing, is that you do feel, you know, hopefully healed in some way, or that maybe it's managed to get you through a difficult situation or a difficult time. So I'm glad, and I thank you for that feedback, because it does make me happy to hear that, you know. And it's not an ego thing. It's not that I think I'm doing anything greater than anybody else is doing, but it just genuinely makes me glad that the energy that I'm trying to send out there is being received.
Did I ever tell you the story about how my daughter's cat, Mala, stole all three of my Reiki bears? She stole one from, I'm not even kidding, she stole one from Kai, and she stole one from Tucker, and one from my bed, and she hid one in her litter box, one in her bed, and she hid another one in my daughter's bed. And I didn't find them.
She wasn't having one.
Yep, she did not. She wanted all three of them, and she stole all three of them. I have them back. Well, I have one back. The other two she took with her to Oklahoma,
funny.
But it was pretty funny.
Well, that's the other thing that I love. You know, my Reiki bears travel more than I do, and I think that's great. I love knowing that they're going places, and that, you know, and they're out there, and that people want to take them where they're going, or they're, you know, they want to have them with them. So, and I know people ask me all the time, well, does that run out? You know, if I attune, and the answer is no. You know, it's an ongoing intention that for as long as the life of the bear or your life, it's there for you for as long as you need it. But I'm not opposed if somebody feels like, you know, the juice has run out, you know, I distantly send more love to the bear, you know, so I have no problem doing that too if somebody
feels
they need it.
That was my question. Does it have to be recharged?
No. No, because the intention, the absolute intention behind it is that it helps, you know, whoever it needs to help mm-hmm. for as long as they need it. So no, for me, it doesn't. You know, I think if anything, the more it's held and used and cuddled, I think that intensifies the energy even more so. So
yeah,
for me,
I would agree
anyway,
with that.
I don't, you know, but I don't think, you know, I'm not opposed to it though. If you got, you know, if you got a bear and all of a sudden you feel like you need a boost, I'd absolutely, you know, gladly send a boost to your bear.
Now, have you ever decided that maybe you thought about different animals, or is it just always bears?
I'm not, you know, no. I think I did at one point explore that, and I'm not sure exactly why, you know, just now I'm just not recalling exactly why the bear stuck with me. And the funny thing is, like, in real life, I'm petrified of, like, bears, like, in the woods, you know, black bears and brown bears. I think they're beautiful from a distance, but I'm actually petrified of walking in the woods and coming across one. So I think it was just this thing that they're just so gentle and so sweet, and mine actually are totally embroidered, so there's no hard parts in them whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You can smush them in a ball and stick them in your pocket, and you know, and it'll fluff up just as wonderfully as it was before you squished them. So that's the other thing with them. He's got the softest fur, and he's just totally, totally squishable. And I have, you know, I actually have one in my bedroom. I have a couple around my house, and I have, you know, people that I know just literally will carry them with them or bring them places with them. And you could do that. You know, you could throw them in a briefcase, and he's good to go. So he likes to travel.
How big are they?
He's a traveling bear. They're only about, I want to say, 10 inches long, straight, you know, if you measure them straight out. I mean, they're not huge,
mm-hmm.
but they're, like I said, the legs fold down, and the, I actually have one here. Let's see, I'll take a measure. Yeah, he's about 10 inches tall. Some days he seems bigger to me, and some days he seems smaller. Depends on, you know. But I do feel like they have a little life in them. I think that energy is within them, and it does just go wherever it needs to go. So, and like I said, I can go on and on about stories, feedback that I've gotten from them that is just, you know, really beautiful stories that people have shared. And even, you know, what you mentioned before with the animal Reiki, I mean, I did that with my old dog that I lost a couple of years back. She
mm-hmm.
had a stroke, and she couldn't walk at all, and she was paralyzed, and I had to carry all 75 pounds of her outside the house, you know, so she can do her business and carry her back. And I was just so upset thinking we were losing her. I sat down, and I did Reiki on her. And the next morning, you know, my husband said, you know, call her. And I said, that's mean, she can't walk. And he says, call her. And I did. And she came hobbling over to me. And he said, he's like the biggest skeptic. He's like, I don't know what you did with that Reiki thing, but she's walking again. And unfortunately, she did have a mass, you know, a cancerous mass, and there was nothing that we could do about that. So I continue to do Reiki with her. I do also animal reading. So I told her to let me know, you know, when she felt it was time. And she did, and we were fortunate enough at the time to have a vet come to the house for us. And I held her in my arms, in my recliner, just like I would a baby, and I commenced doing Reiki on her to help her transition. So there's another, you know, another use for Reiki. And I swear, you know, doing this, at some point I felt like her heartbeat and my heartbeat were the same beat, and I could feel when the life slipped from her. And I looked at my vet who was standing over me, and I said, she's gone. And she looked kind of confused because that was kind of happened kind of fast and a little bit more smoothly than I guess she was used to. And she confirmed it. And she was crying. My husband was crying. And she later told me that was the most beautiful passing that she had ever witnessed. And she wished every animal that ever had to be put to sleep can have that kind of, you know, that kind of transition.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, they're twofold. You know, we got the gift of, you know, Reiki gave us the gift of giving my dog the ability to move again and have some dignity back. And it also mm-hmm. gave us the gift of time so that we'd have a little more time with her to come to the acceptance that, you know, she wasn't going to be with us much longer. So
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was difficult, but you know, in using Reiki, I was able to hold it together because my main focus was her and her transition.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as soon as I handed her off, of course, I bawled like a baby. But up until that point, really, Reiki is the thing that helped me hold it together, and it has been, you know, as I said, in many situations. So whether you do it for yourself or you do it because you want to help others, I just think it's a great tool to have, you know, under your belt, even if it's just about working for yourself and on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
Absolutely.
Really great thing. But I know I don't have to sell either one of you. So
No.
Did you want to take a caller, Robert, to see if they have any questions?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I think
hold on
one second.
Okay.
Sure.
I know I pressed the button. Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Your name and where are you from?
Kathy Rose from Washington State.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kathy Rose.
Hi, I'm good. I have a question. I'm in a very rural area, and I have looked into finding a Reiki. Is that how you say it? Reiki? Anyway, a person, and all I can find is the Reiki massages. And can you tell me, I know you mentioned it just briefly, but does that really work together?
Well, you know, you can get, first of all, if you just want Reiki and you don't want a massage, then you probably don't want a Reiki massages unless they offer just Reiki. So you would have to reach out to them and see if they just do Reiki. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Massages are wonderful, and they're also healing. It's just that, as I mentioned, I like to keep both of those modalities separate. I don't have my computer in front of me, but if you want to somehow reach out to me on my page and tell me where you're from, the associations that I belong to do have listings of Reiki practitioners just about all over the world, so I can see if there's somebody that I can try to hook you up with. Separate from that, as I've mentioned before, I do work distantly as well, so you're you know, more than welcome to reach out to me as well if you'd be interested in trying it that way first. But yeah, there are directories through the association, so I can do my best to try to find somebody you know, as close to you as possible if you do want to reach out to me and ask me that.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank
you.
I'm all over social media, so it's kind of hard to, like, I'm on, you know, if you're on any of social media, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, I'm on everything. So find one of those ways, or you can even just email me. It's intercomreiki@gmail.com, and just mention that we spoke on the show, and I'll see if I can't help you find somebody.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
Kathy.
Yep.
Well, have a nice evening, Kathy.
Now, what's the word I'm looking for?
Reiterate?
Tell us your email address again.
It's wherever you want to find me, it's all under my name, Intercom Reiki. So it's InnerCalm, Reiki is R-E-I-K-I, @gmail.com, or if you go to my website, you know, intercomreiki.com, and then there's, you know, a thing there where you can reach out to me and email me right from my website as well, or Facebook intercomreiki.com.
Yes, and when I post the recording of this, I will include all of your information so people can reach out to you.
Yeah. And then I'm happy to answer, you know, if people have questions about it, I'm happy to answer it. And if I don't have an answer, or if I can't be the one to help you, then I'll certainly do my best to try to find someone who can. So, you know, we all
now,
do what we can in this world.
Yeah, what are your hours in New Jersey? In what days are you there?
It's flexible, and it's all based on, you know, whatever the person needs. So I don't turn people away. I try my best not to. So I try to work with people's schedules. Normally I like to teach during the week, during the day if possible, because I do teach in two full hour days for level one. But
if, you know, during the week isn't good, I'll do it on a Saturday. The only day I try not to do anything is a Sunday if possible, because I do go to my spiritualist church and I'm very involved there. So I don't, you know, I try to keep that as a day for me if I can.
Exactly.
But the same thing, whether it's, if it's a session you need and you absolutely can't do a daytime thing and you can only do it during the night, then I try to work with, you know, with whoever's schedule and try to work around that the best I can. So I don't necessarily have hours posted per se. It's really, you know, whatever's needed out there.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming. I just need to look at my schedule.
There you go. There you go. You tell me it's going to work.
Close, so. Yeah.
I am close. Yeah, no, it's, and, you know, like I said, we can't, if somebody finds me, I don't do a lot of advertising, honestly, so if somebody finds me, I always feel there's a reason they got to me, they found me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do my best to try to, you know, work with everybody that does reach out to me.
Now, when you're getting
session, mm-hmm.
Would you have the client wear, like, jeans or, like, sweatpants or track pants? Or
I say something comfortable. Whatever you're comfortable.
Robert, I really want to say something here, Robert, but I'm going to be nice.
You do have to wear clothes. You have to wear clothes, and there, if any Reiki practitioner, like we said before, the massage therapist, when Kathy called in, but even if she was going to that massage therapist just for Reiki, she should still be fully clothed. There's no time that you take your clothes off for a Reiki practitioner. So I always suggest just whatever you're comfortable lounging in. So if that's sweatpants, nothing too tight, nothing constricting, no jewelry, you know, all that kind of stuff, nothing to distract you. So as comfortable as you can possibly be, that's what I would recommend coming to a session. You don't have to get all dolled up for me. So, you know, ladies don't have to put on the makeup or men. You know, that's fine. You know, that's not why you're coming to me. So, I just say, be as comfortable as you can be.
Okay. And Robin, that's where my question was going, whether it was constricting or not, because I know jeans can be sometimes constricting, whereas like lounge pants, you know, are not. So that's where my question was going.
Okay, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, you know, all those things are a distraction. Like if you're uncomfortable, then you're going to be distracted by that. You know, if you're laying there trying to get relaxed and you're thinking, oh, these jeans are way too tight, then it kind of, you know, takes a little bit away. And that's why, as I mentioned before, for me personally, I like to, you know, start off with a guided meditation. I find in most of my clients, at least I hope, that it relaxes them enough that they are more open to having that energy, you know, move around them and not spending the first, you know, half hour of my session just trying to get them to relax. It's a few minutes of that and they're relaxed. 99%, you know, percent of the time my clients will fall asleep on my table and that's fine with me. I just respectfully continue on with my session. And that to me just tells me that they've relaxed enough to let go and to trust and to be open to it, you know, so...
Yeah.
I have no problem with the, and, you know, somebody comes and they're tired, I'll tell them, you know, stay as long as you want, take a nap, you know, no rush, take your time.
Yeah.
It's really whatever the client needs. And I will take a few minutes before and after to talk to them, especially if they've never had Reiki before. But I always say, don't go with any expectations, you know, just come with an open mind and just experience it. Just at least one time in your lifetime, experience it. And then you can be the judge. You know, it may not be for everyone. Not everyone's going to feel something. Not everybody's going to recognize or even acknowledge that there's been a shifting or a change or some good came of it. It really depends on your mindset as well. So if you're open to it, then absolutely experience it. You know, at least try it.
Robin, any questions?
Nope, I don't think so. I think we have one more caller. Do you want to take that last caller?
Absolutely. Hello, you're on the air. Your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Betty from San Antonio. Hi, Leslie. Hi, Robin. Hi, Robert.
Hi
Betty.
You?
Hey, Betty. How are you?
Hi,
long
great.
Time
thank
no talk.
You. Yes, I've been very busy. I have three kids, but nevertheless, I made time to listen today because I'm very interested in the Reiki. I have an uncle that does that in Mexico, and one time he said that he would sent me his energy, but I have a question. What is that experience? How do you feel? How do you know you're getting that energy from somebody? And if somebody doesn't believe in it, I mean, I do, but it's just a question. If they don't believe in it, can they still receive that Reiki?
Okay, so two questions there. Normally when I'm doing a distance session, I can't speak for your uncle. I'm not sure what he does or how he does that. But I normally set you up with a scenario where I'll have you maybe sit someplace quietly for a little while and set up your environment so that it's conducive to healing and to relaxation. So I would kind of talk to you first, do a little meditation with you first, and then I would hang up if we're talking on the phone, and then I'd ask you to continue to sit for the next however long the session may be, if it's a half hour, hour, whatever it is. And then just to sit there and just to kind of be open and allow yourself to be open to receiving that energy. Whether or not you feel something, I can't speak to or address what that might be like for you because it's different for everybody. So I've had people tell me in some of the feedback, for instance, where they say they've done that, where they felt very peaceful suddenly, or whatever discomfort or pain they had seemed to subside, or at least, you know, go away or is a little bit less than it started off as. Or they'll tell me they slept better, or they're no longer having an issue with something. So it may not be an instantaneous thing. Just because I talked to you and we worked together for that hour, you may find another day or two down the road, all of a sudden you feel a little bit lightening, you know, a little bit, you know, that the weight is lifted off your shoulders or whatever the case may be or whatever it is that you're dealing with. So how you receive it and what that feels like is really personal and individual to every person. But I always say, too, just if you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean that there's nothing happening. It doesn't mean that it's not working. Sometimes we're just not in tune enough to it to feel it, and sometimes we don't acknowledge, you know, the good things that happen afterwards, or we attribute it to something else, or that might be a coincidence, you know. And I've had people all the time, they go, and you should continue your medical treatment if you're doing something medically. And they'll come to me later, and even though they've come to me for months and months and months for Reiki, and they'll say, you know, I went to the doctor, and he changed my medication, and so I think this is going to be better now. And then suddenly they say it's better, and they attribute it to the medication and not to the Reiki, which is fine. I'm just glad that they feel better. It doesn't matter to me mm-hmm. how it happened. I'm just glad it happened. So sometimes that's the case. People just aren't in tune to those little subtleties that tell us that there's a shifting in the energy. So it doesn't mean it's not working and it's not happening, but how you perceive that yourself or how that happens in your body really is personal to you. So some people say they feel warmth, they see a light, they, you know, they feel tingling. The sensations really, and I don't want to feed you that because I really want you to discover that for yourself, whatever your own perception and the way you receive it yourself to be. And as far as not, if somebody, what was the other question? You said if somebody doesn't want to receive it or they're not open to
yes.
receiving it?
Will they still receive it or not?
Yeah, so normally I teach that you should have somebody's permission, but there are cases where they can't give that permission. Either they're incapacitated, they're in a coma, you know, or whatever the case may be, or they're an infant, or they're just unable to speak. And I always say that Reiki, if you send Reiki, one of two things will happen. Either their higher consciousness will accept it, because we all do want to heal and be healed. So either the higher consciousness will accept the Reiki on their behalf, or the Reiki just falls to the earth where we could always use more healing. So it's never wasted. There are situations, for instance, because you can send Reiki to situations. So if somebody's going for surgery, for instance, and they don't want to have anything to do with Reiki, then I would send it to the situation, to the surgical team, to the operating room, you know, and use Reiki in that respect. So they're still kind of reaping the benefits without getting it directly themselves. So hopefully that answers that.
So Reiki, definitely. Yeah, so Reiki helps overall, not just spiritually, but the body and everything in general.
Reiki can work on all, you know, I call the magical trio. It works on mind, body, and spirit. So if you're having emotional issues, it can work on that. If you're having physical, you know, pains or ailments, it can work on that. Spiritually, it can help you, if you choose, to have and find your higher connection to source or to whatever that is, the divine power. So, yeah, it can work on all aspects. And I do believe that you need to work on all three of them to really find and to be in a state of you know, optimal health, that you really need to work on all three of those.
Well, I'm looking at your bear, and I'm going to order it. Just as soon as I hang up, I'm going to order one for each one of our family members. Because I know they're going to benefit a lot from that. And I can already see they're very cute. I can carry it around with me in the purse.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'd be thrilled to send those out to you, and trust I will give them lots of extra love for you just for calling in and speaking to me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Robin. Thank you,
so
Robert. Thank you, Leslie. You too.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts or comments you would like to make, Leslie?
Oh, I wasn't sure if you're talking to me or Robin, because I know Robin always has something to say, right, Robin?
Always.
I'm very grateful to you both for having me. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about Reiki. And as I said, if anybody has any questions off air, even if they want to reach out to me, my only suggestion is just to always find somebody, if you're looking for a Reiki practitioner or even a teacher, to find somebody that you do connect to. Trust your instincts there. You know, if something doesn't feel right, then it's not right. Find yourself a new practitioner. Not everybody works the same. I know we started briefly talking about that earlier, you know, integrity and other things. There's a lot of things, and I won't get into it, but there's a lot of things that I don't believe in, and I know some Reiki practitioners out there utilize and do. And I really think that a lot of it is just kind of gimmicky. You don't need all that stuff. I mean, I do have in my level 3 class, I do teach about other things like essential oils, and I teach about, you know, even if you want to use pendulums and essential oils and sound singing bowls and different things that you can use to enhance the practice if you choose to. But I also say none of that is necessary. You know, stick to the basics. Most people, especially if they're not familiar with Reiki, they don't want you coming at them, you know, waving a feather and smudge smoke in their face, you know. So you stick to the basics, stick to the energy, stick to the intention. And absolutely find somebody that you feel is working with integrity. If it's all about money for them, then I would consider somebody else. And just case in point, I know somebody, a beautiful young woman who came to me not too long ago and told me about somebody, a healer, who offered to balance her chakras. And I said, well, how much did that cost you? And she said it was $600. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she said, no. And she goes, and the next time I go for the next chakra, it's another $600. She was charging per chakra.
Wow.
You know, I told her, it was one of those scenarios, no, run as fast and far as you can. Come to me. I'll do it for nothing. Or, you know, it would be like half a session, you know, a couple of bucks or whatever. And, you know, I just said, please don't ever go back to that woman. Or she'll, you know, you have people who talk to you about spells, or they read something in your aura while they're doing Reiki. And like I said earlier to Robin, that's not the appropriate time to do that. It really absolutely isn't. So if you're dealing with somebody like that, please trust that there are a lot of really good practitioners out there, and just keep looking until you find one. Reiki is not really regulated, you know, like the way other things are. So it's really up to you to find somebody that you trust and that you connect to.
Good. Perfect. And you will definitely be hearing from me. I'm coming in for a session. Calling in today, and I've learned so much, as always.
I appreciate you having me. I wish you both the best of health always.
You too as well. Thank you
so much. Thank you, Leslie.
You're very welcome. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Robin, do you want to go briefly? We have about 60 seconds left. What we're doing for next week?
Why don't you introduce Tobin? Tobin is our guest for next week, and you know him better than I do.
Yes, Tobin had a near-death experience, and we will talk about all his ventures, and he is one of the most spiritual people that I've ever met, and he is just amazing to talk to, and I don't have his bio right in front of me, so I can't quote anything on his bio, but he will be here next week and his journey. And we'll talk about, if you have a call about a near-death experience, please call in next week. If not, just listen to it. It's going to be a great show, just like this show and every other show. Robin, I will talk to you in an hour. An hour and a
in
half.
A few hours. Yep.
Yep.
In 2 hours.
All right.
Or an hour and a half.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
Have a great rest of your
Sunday. Have a good evening, everyone. Take care.